The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on Veritas, we dive deep into a story that's as intense as it is inspiring. Our special guest is Era Wolfnothson, who will discuss her transformation from a life steeped in occult darkness to one illuminated by Christian faith. Era isn't just another author. She's a survivor who lived to tell the tale, penned in her book, The Devil's Mistake, From an Occultist to Christian. Era grew up in a family where God was absent, and the supernatural was an everyday reality. Imagine living in a house where the darkness was not just physical, but spiritual, where the presence of God was replaced by eerie, unexplainable phenomena. But tonight, she shares how she broke free from the chains of her past, shedding light on the forces, both dark and divine, that battled for her soul. This isn't just a talk. It's a front row seat to a life-altering showdown between good and evil. Era's story is a raw, unfiltered look at her escape from the depths of the occult and her embrace of a new faith that fundamentally changed her. Join us as Era takes us on this harrowing yet uplifting journey. Whether you're a believer or a skeptic, her story is a compelling reminder of the profound impact of faith and the possibility of redemption. This will be a jaw-dropping journey through the valley of the shadow of death and out the other side. Don't miss a single moment of this electrifying tale. Your soul depends on it. Era Wolfnothson is coming up next.
Welcome to Veritas. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasradio.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And now, here's your host, Mel Hastelrich.
And she is the author of the book titled The Devil's Mistake, From Occultist to Christian. Website is heartunafraid.com. And directly from Northern California, I'd like to welcome Era Wolfnothson. Hello, Era, and welcome to Veritas. How are you?
Thank you so much, Mel, for having me.
My pleasure.
It's a pleasure. By the way, to be here.
It is my pleasure. Did I butcher your last name?
Era Wolfnothson. You did
okay.
Fine.
Not too far from what I said.
You're the first host to ever get it right.
Oh, really? Well, I'm proud to say that. What an incredible story you have. You've been recommended by our friend Justin, who recommends a lot of good people. And you sent me your book. I've read it. Incredible story. And even for the listeners, we have religious people, we have atheists, we have people from all walks of life. This is for everyone. I want to start with your journey. I want to start by knowing how somebody who grew up in a cult, demonology, Freemasons, this goes back to generations. I want you to take us back to the very beginning and just tell us the story and what transitioned you into who you are today.
Well, I'm 65 years old, first of all. So back in the day, we learned in person. We didn't learn on the internet. And so the information was similar, but it had a different feel to it. It had a different, I don't want to say the wisdom stream was different. Of course, all the monographs and things that are passed down on, that are written down are the same. But the imperators and adepts that taught back then taught only in person, very small circles. My family line on my mother's side were Masons. That goes back for generations. So my mother herself was very Luciferian. We were brought up in a house that was, well, cold and dark. God didn't exist in our house. There was no conversations about God. There were no sacramentals. There was no Bible. There were no crucifixes. It was never said out loud, but until I was older, of course, and I understood the methodologies and principles of Magicka, but it was given to us, let's say, via osmosis, just being around someone, that you are your own God. My mother at times would quote Aleister Crowley by just quipping, if I will something, it happens. If we were to say something like, Mom, the piano's playing itself again, this was normal. Or, the lights are going on and off. Or, we just saw someone walk across the lawn and then they disappeared. There were so many strange manifestations and demanifestations. It was very theatrical. It was dark. There was a lot of, nighttime attacks, succubus, incubus experiences growing up. And when we would ask my mother, what's going on? She would say, oh, don't worry. It'll go away. Very casual, that can only come from experience of understanding what that is. As I became an adult in my early 20s, I was already in quite a few different circles. One was a Dianic society. Another was a Rosicrucian order. Again, we're talking about the Bay Area, San Francisco, meeting in person. I was taken to Bohemian Grove at age 3, which people say, how can you remember that? I will never forget it, driving into Bohemian Grove. And the person that took me was my mother. There was no one there. This was not a public event. Because, our lineage is Freemasonry on her side, many, many Freemasons upon Freemasons. No one in our family had been Christian for generations. And when she took me to Bohemian Grove, I remember the drive in very clearly because it reminded me of something like a fairy forest, an enchanted forest. It is an enchanted grove.
It is beautiful, that area.
It's also dedicated to Diana.
The Huntress, right?
Yeah, that's correct. That's a whole nother story. But as we drove in, there were tiny little shacks set up, like little fun fairy lights. And I would see one decorated with surfboards and another one was kind of a pirate theme and another was like a monk's, theme. And I remember rounding the corner and seeing the lake and, of course, the owl. And at some point, my mother was walking me towards the lake and we passed a tree and the tree had a face. It was either natural or carved into it. I can't quite say now, 50 something years, 60 years later. But she said, you see that face? A man gets inside of that tree and speaks and he pretends as if he's the god. Well, what she meant was he was probably invoking the god and got in the tree, and it's part of the theatrics. But as we walked away, she mentioned, "But trees do talk." So she was very much into Magicka, I think, and more leaning towards even outside of a formal order of, say, Rosicrucian or something like that, or it was more mystery school understanding. Again, what I was exposed to were elder persons that were adepts and magi. And so what they taught and what I see on the internet today always had a much deeper theme to it, a much deeper wisdom stream to it, which I find really interesting. It's almost like it's all disappearing now. Now, because I'm Roman Catholic now, I also am able to say that Catholicism, Roman Catholicism itself, is just as complex and philosophical and magical and metaphysical as anything that you will find in the occult, whether you're talking about witchcraft, ceremonial magic, Enochian magic, Solomonic magic, ritual magic, whatever you're doing. When I became a Catholic, I was very much comfortable because they Magicka operates on God's laws, and everything in the universe has to obey those laws. And when you look at Catholicism, they're speaking about the same laws of God. Now, we have laws in the scientific world where we have gravity and thermodynamics, and we all have to obey those laws, right? Well, there are spiritual laws that God also wrote into the universe. And those laws, the three most important, are love, free will, and justice. And you can't disobey those laws. Again, that's another thing that I learned back then that we don't really find today being taught. That's like such a deep, important thing. So I'm saying two things at once here. I became Roman Catholic because Roman Catholicism, at a high functioning level, also understands God's laws written, wired into the universe. Those are commandments. That's why we have commandments. That's why we're advised not to do this or that, or this or that is a sin. But if you go into the mind of an occultist, they also know these laws are true and God made. Luciferians believe God exists. They know God exists. They know his laws are unbreakable, but they reject God. They are taught, as I was, to become your own God. The more knowledge you have, the closer you are to Godhood. Of course, Godhood with a little g. And in this type of mindset, it's very elitist because you begin to look at other people as less than you. And you're actually taught that by example. You know, when you're in an order and you're together, you know, it's us and the profane. So with the three laws of God, the three divine triangle laws, love, free will, and justice, a Luciferian builds their philosophy of Magicka, really. So God is love. We know that God exists, whether we're Christian or Luciferian. We know God exists. There is a creator, cause and effect. God is the cause. The effect is the universe. We can't deny that. So God is love, and God is a person. Love is also a generative force in the universe. Next, at the top of the pyramid is God, right? The hierarchy. In the lower corner, next is free will. And free will exists because love, unconditional love, cannot exist without free will. You must choose love, i.e. you must choose God. On the other leg of the pyramid is justice. Justice is the fail-safe, the checkpoint for having free will. Because as we know, with free will, whether we're the best Christian on the planet or the best Luciferian or occultist on the planet, we know that free will, we err, we choose immoral actions at times, and we choose incorrectly. So with free will, we can cause a lot of harm, but God also wrote justice into the wiring of the universe. These are three laws, just like physical laws that we can measure with instruments. These laws exist, but we cannot measure them with instruments. They are the metaphysical laws. So with justice, you know it as karma, but justice keeps free will in check. We must have free will because love, true love, real love, unconditional love rests upon it. We cannot have unconditional love without free will. And with free will, we must have justice. Now, justice is something that's very important. It's a force. And when someone commits an immoral act, justice comes for you. It is triggered. It is a cause and effect wired into the universe to keep free will in check. So you can't avoid justice, no matter who you are. And when justice comes, it may not come tomorrow. It may not come next month. It may not come for years, but it will come for you. Now, when you're practicing magic and you want to commit magic, evil magic, against others, you have to know how to do a workaround, find the loophole, or slow down justice. And you can do that for a time, but even the best know that justice will eventually come for them. And it's exhausting, ritual upon ritual upon ritual. So I'm referring right now to what happens on the world stages when a group of very elite, high-functioning magi get together and they're either commissioned or decide amongst themselves that they're going to cast a bewitchment, an enchantment, a spell what we call operations out onto the public, to the global public or the American public. We saw these things happening with the pandemic, or just before the pandemic really let her rip, we saw the mask mandating or the mask propaganda. So behind what, when magic is done, it's performed on three planes of existence. It's performed on a spiritual plane, the intellectual plane, which is against your mind, and on the physical plane. So everybody knows that first you have to create a lot of chaos, a lot of fear, and you gather that energy. So what people need to be aware of is don't pay attention to what you're hearing in the propaganda. Discern for yourselves. Use the right side of your brain, which is the instinctual, the creative, the part that connects to God. Don't use the left side of your brain, which is only the intellect, the analytical side of your brain. So when we got this first introduction, which was the mask wearing thing, you must wear a mask, you must wear a mask. The symbolism was very interesting to me because it is almost like the symbol of Harpocrates, which is the finger over the lips, silence, confidentiality, no disagreement. When the mask was put on, everybody in the world, and everybody in the world saw it, was on everyone else. The fear was starting, but also the rituals that were at the highest levels that were worked against us, really what that was about was consent. You will not speak out against what's coming. So another thing people don't realize is rituals come in, they're stacked. So you have the first ritual, then the second ritual, then the third ritual, when really the outcome takes five or six rituals. So that first mask ritual that was done, we made sure that it was put out physically and intellectually. We were told there was this, that, other reason. But spiritually, there's a strange attractor. When the ritual is worked, the forces are gathered against you and the symbol is used, which speaks to your deep subconscious. So the mask with this was the symbol of don't speak out against this. And that's universal archetypal symbolism. It hits the deep subconscious. So at that moment, ideally, knowing what you know now, what I'm just starting to explain, you should say, no, I'm not doing that. I refuse that. I rebuke that. I'm not going to do that. Because what happened was when we didn't speak out, and because we were all afraid, that cemented the next ritual, which was the whole pandemic, the virus coming out. Now, everyone's going to say, well, that's not what happened. You know, it was done in China, and that's on the physical plane. I'm speaking of the spiritual plane and the intellectual plane of existence. And all these things were attacked at the same time. So while somebody was, you know, orchestrating something else, at the highest levels, the strange attractor, the bewitchment was put out with these masks. When the pandemic came, we watched the stock market tickers rising up with death counts. The stock market ticker that freaks us out normally was removed, and the death count was coming. Next, after that, was the ultimate goal, which was the vaccination. And the vaccination was really the diabolical ending to all of this, which really was the final blow. So we had one tap, double tap, and then the result. And I say this because, again, double tapping, it's ritual upon ritual. You do the first rituals and then you strike the killing blow, which was the vaccinations. And everyone was primed, ready, and groomed to go get those. And now we're seeing, sadly, the evil result of what those things are doing to people.
You mentioned double tapping. If I may just interject for a second, I don't know why I'm reminded of Obama when in the Middle East.
Double tapping is warfare.
Exactly. For those who might not know, we're using a lot of drones now. And they would just send a drone, drop a bomb, and then, you know, after a while, the emergency services, paramedics would come in to help. And Obama would order a second bombing to get rid of them. That's called double tapping too, warfare term, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.